Every time the Blackhawks win this season, you could win big with Circa Sports Illinois. One fan scores a two-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino, and 100 more win a $100 Circa app credit. Don't miss your shot. See the Blackhawks contest page.
Welcome to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis here, as always, on a Monday night with my guy, Jack Heinrich. Jack, what is going on? We are in March, man. The calendar year has flipped. We're in the stretch run.
Yeah, my mentality is still in January. I don't know why, but maybe it's the weather. But
you
we'll
and me
see.
Both. Yeah, it might be the weather because, yeah, it was pretty chilly coming in today. Although next week I saw we're going to get in the 60s.
And it's going to rain, so we're back in spring.
All right. Well, that just took
the
wind out of my sails.
And watch hockey.
There you go. Yeah, we got 6 weeks left in the NHL season coming out of the Olympic break. And now as we officially move into the calendar year of March. And so, I think it might be 6.5 weeks left in the season for the Blackhawks. And, let's get right to it because this is going to be an interesting week for Chicago with the NHL trade deadline on Friday. I believe Friday afternoon. It might be 2 p.m. Central time. And, the Hawks got ahead of some business earlier today when they moved Connor Murphy, defenseman, to the Edmonton Oilers for a 2028 second round pick. Hawks also retain 50% of Connor Murphy's salary to help make the deal work for on Edmonton's side because they're up against the salary cap, but also to enhance the draft pick for Chicago. And just my initial thoughts, Jack, is kind of something that we were expecting. Murphy was likely going to be the primary candidate to be moved for Chicago. And, man, I just have nothing but great things to say about what Connor Murphy has done both on and off the ice with the Blackhawks. He got traded here in 2017. Ironically, it was former Blackhawks general manager Stan Bowman that acquired him from the Arizona Coyotes, who now reacquires him with the Edmonton Oilers. So there's clearly some familiarity there, but it was not an easy trade for the Blackhawks because that trade sent Nicholas Hjalmarsson, who is a three-time Stanley Cup champion, one of the most beloved Blackhawks of the dynasty era, sent him to the Arizona Coyotes. And I know a lot of fans were really upset about that move. But it was one of those things where the Hawks ended up getting Connor Murphy with 4 years left on his deal. Hjalmarsson had 2 years left. So the Hawks were looking more longer term picture. And, I think Connor Murphy, even though it took a while for fans to kind of warm up to him because he was associated with Nicholas Hjalmarsson, he just did a fantastic job of winning over the fan base. And not once in his 9 year career with the Blackhawks did he ever complain about his situation, because boy, he's been here for some pretty dark years with the Blackhawks. I mean, 2017 was literally the year things started to go downhill for Chicago at the end of the dynasty era. Hawks tried to keep the window open for a few of those years and it was unsuccessful. And then they announced the full teardown, in 2021-22, depending on when you kind of want to pinpoint when exactly it happened. And so, Connor Murphy, man, he's just a pro's pro, and I'm happy to see him go get a chance with the Oilers to go play some meaningful hockey and try to go win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the longest tenured athletes in Chicago. I mean,
I think it was the second highest.
I think Ian Happ's the longest one.
Yeah.
And then I think it was him. So, I mean, he's been here for a while, and like you said, that trade was a little rough when he's coming here, but, I mean, he pretty much won everybody over. And
yeah,
He went through the ringer here, and he was always willing to talk. I mean, he was on Blackhawks Live ever since I've been doing it pretty much every year, and always willing to chat, and he always had more in-depth, I guess, insight, because sometimes when you're just getting your teeth kicked in, you can only say the same thing so many times over, but he was always willing, and he understood, like, you got to talk to the media after the game, even if it didn't go your way, and he had a positive attitude, and I mean, you could tell how much you meant in the locker room. I already saw Connor Bedard put something on his story with like the goodbye thing, and so I think the guys are going to miss him, and hopefully some of these young guys can see this is the business, and you don't want to be on this side; you want to be on the side of adding, so you could take that moving forward.
Yeah, he's worn that A on his sweater since as long as I can remember him being with the Blackhawks. I think ever since they moved on from Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook is when Murphy got the A on his sweater. So he's essentially had the leadership role for a long time. And just think about how many tough losses that he's been a part of, that he's had to go out there and stand to the and talk to the media on behalf of the leadership group. And so it's been really difficult for him, I imagine, in Chicago, and for him to not even slip up just once about the situation that he has been in, I think tells you what his character is and just how great of a teammate that he's been in his time in Chicago. And to kind of put the perspective into Murphy's time in Chicago, he ends his Blackhawks career with 547 career regular season games with the Blackhawks. That ranks number 12 among all defensemen in franchise history. I mean, that's how long he's been around for the Blackhawks. And even though, you know, we might look back 10, 20 years from now on Connor Murphy's legacy in Chicago, and it kind of might just be forgotten because of the dark days that his years in Chicago overlapped with, but that should not diminish the impact that he has had here with the Blackhawks, especially considering how young the locker room has been over the last couple of years and what his leadership role has been. Like, I hope we don't look at this era of hockey and kind of just dismiss Connor Murphy's 9 years with the Blackhawks. Like, I hope Connor Murphy, anytime he swings back through Chicago as a former player, or, you know, whenever he retires as an alumni, I hope he gets a really strong ovation from the fan base, because he did put in some meaningful minutes with this Blackhawks team, even though it didn't result in winning hockey for Chicago.
He feels like one of those guys that when he comes back, he's going to be more appreciated than when he played.
Yeah,
you know, like those kind of players. So he's going to be, I think he'll get like nice receptions, and it seems like he would maybe like to be involved moving forward, but we'll see what the rest of his career looks like. But he feels to me like one of those guys that, like, when he comes back, he'd be like, I remember him. He was here for like 10 years. He was rock solid, put his body on the line. And when you start going through the memory bank, because like when someone leaves and they come back and you start going through the memory bank, I think you remember more of what he did, even though I think you forget more of those teams. You're like, oh, that was a dark time, but he was pretty cool. Like, you know, he was always there, and, you know, he wasn't that bad. Like, he was like a good guy. And I mean, I think his play will be more on display on an Edmonton team, like in the playoffs, when he's shutting down a power play in a big spot. That'll showcase him a little bit more.
Yeah, and let's get into it. Let's break it down on both sides. Let's start with Edmonton. What kind of player that Edmonton is getting in Connor Murphy? Defends well, plays really hard, stands up for his teammates. He is not afraid to drop the gloves, like we've seen here in his many years with the Blackhawks. But he's very physical and hard to play against. Defensive-minded, right-shot defenseman, right? His style of hockey fits so well for postseason hockey, the style of play. And all the rumors leading into the trade deadline for the Edmonton Oilers were that they wanted a more of a puck moving defenseman. And I think if you look at some of the numbers, like, Edmonton, I think, is 26th in the NHL in goals against per game. I don't know if they necessarily need another puck mover. I think they needed more of a stay at home, shut down guy, because they do have Evan Bouchard. They do have Jake Walman. Matthias Ekholm can play both ends. Connor Murphy provides that true shutdown defenseman that can play. He was playing number one penalty kill minutes on the Blackhawks. And so I imagine he's going to get a very similar role with the Edmonton Oilers. And so that's what Edmonton is getting in Connor Murphy. And I'm very excited to see how his game is going to translate to postseason hockey, because can't remember if I've mentioned this, but Connor Murphy in his time with the Blackhawks, like, not one, or his NHL career, he has not sniffed the playoffs outside of that bubble year, which the Hawks were the 12 seed and the NHL expanded to make it a 24 team bracket, 12 and 12 in each conference. And they played in the bubble. Funny enough, ironically enough, the Hawks ended up eliminating Edmonton in that bubble. So now Connor Murphy's going to the team that he has his only postseason win against, or postseason series win against, but he hasn't played a playoff game in front of fans, and so it's gonna feel probably so electric for him. Like, he's going to have goosebumps, I'm sure, in the playoffs, but I'm excited to see how he's going to perform in that environment. Then on the flip side for the Blackhawks, so I thought it was a nice return for them. Yeah. I think a second round pick is what I think the ceiling was going to be for him. And as soon as you got that, I think the Hawks were going to pull the trigger. But the Hawks were probably one of very few teams. I think I saw it was reported that like six teams were interested in Connor Murphy. The Hawks were probably maybe the only team in that kind of market that would have been okay with giving up a 2028 second round pick, because they have three second round picks in 2026, this upcoming draft. They have two second rounders in 2027. Hawks are trying to spread the wealth here. So that way, if they are hopefully playoff contenders by 2028, I say hopefully, that's going to be the expectation to make the playoffs in 2028. If not starting next year, you have an extra second round pick now to use on a potential player that can help you in the immediate future. So that's why the Blackhawks wanted to kind of spread things out, get that 2028 first. And of course, they retain half of the salary to make it work. So now the Hawks only have one retention spot available, but Murphy was always going to be a guy to use it on to help elevate the package and increase the draft capital. Maybe it made it from a third round pick to a second round pick by retaining half.
I think they did really well here, and I know they have a lot of picks, but being able to get a second round pick for a guy on an expiring contract, I think is good business. And with it being seemingly a seller's market and the Hawks trying to get rid of some or offload some veterans to make room for some young guys, I think it put them in a good position to be picky. And I think Kyle Davidson did a good job. I'd like to see them, now they have all these picks, like maybe move that, condense it and kind of do what they did with Mason West pick and trade back into the first round and get somebody, or you package it for a player. But just more ammo, I think, for the Hawks moving forward, and getting that for Murphy. And then you don't know what some of these other guys might be able to get if you're getting a couple second round picks, and now you're feeling pretty good. And then it's on Kyle Davidson to turn that into productive players.
Right. All right, let's get to how this impacts the Blackhawks blue line. But first, let's do a quick injury report, which is sponsored by Illinois Bone and Joint Institute. Injured after hours, they've got you covered with access to their clinical team beyond regular clinical hours. Learn more at IBJI.com. Wyatt Kaiser remains out with a lower body injury for the Blackhawks. The good news is he could return to practice on Thursday when the Hawks get back from their road trip. So hopefully maybe that's a sign that he could push to return on Friday. Having said that, because he's still out, Hawks play tomorrow in Winnipeg on Tuesday, and they only have five defensemen right now, five healthy defensemen. So the Hawks are going to have to make some sort of call up from the Rockford Ice Hogs. I'm assuming Ethan Del Mastro might be, you know, the top candidate to do so, just so the Hawks can finish out the road trip. And then if Wyatt Kaiser is good enough to return on Friday, he can get reinserted into the lineup, and then the Hawks can maybe decide how they're going to handle the defenseman there. Maybe they go back to 11-7. But you subtract Connor Murphy now from the lineup, and it's a very young D group. I mean, it's Matt Grzelcyk, and then the next youngest player is Alex Vlasic at 24 years old. So there's going to be a lot of growing pains if the Blackhawks, between now and Friday, don't find another defenseman to bring in, whether it's using their cap space to take, you know, a bad contract off of somebody else's books, and maybe it's a useful player for the Hawks, either to finish off this season or maybe even next year as well. We'll see. But you take away Connor Murphy from the blue line, and the Hawks decor is very young right now, and who knows what's going to happen with Matt Grzelcyk too ahead of the Friday trade deadline.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch going down the stretch and how Jeff Blashill and the coaching staff manages it. Like we saw at the beginning, they went 11-7. That helped Levshinov, and now they're kind of working through a bunch of things with all these young guys as they've been up and down. So opening opportunities, but there might be some growing pains, and hopefully they can those guys can step up and keep that penalty kill up at near the top of the NHL. I think that'd be nice for them going into offseason being up there, but I wonder what other moves they have up their sleeve if they bring somebody else in like that. But it is very young. And I think I saw in the Athletic story that Alex Vlasic is the longest tenured Blackhawk now.
That is, what is he, like, mind-boggling.
Did you say he's 24?
Yeah, he's 24.
Yeah, that's crazy. He's I mean, longest tenured now.
Longest tenured Blackhawk. And I mean, he's like, and something to think about now that I'm just realizing, Connor Murphy was wearing the A on his sweater. Oh, like, yeah. Now I wonder who's going to fill that. Is it going to be Connor Bedard? Would like probably earlier, be my guess. Yeah. Or do they give it to more of a, you know, a veteran like Teravainen or Tyler Bertuzzi or whoever? We'll see what happens with Jason Dickinson. He also wears an A. Later on in the show, we'll kind of preview a little bit more some other potential trade candidates for the Blackhawks. But yeah, there's a void now on the blue line, specifically on the right side, because they got Sam Renzel, they have Artem Levchinov, they have Louis Crevier. So I guess on the right side they are set. Sam Renzel. I'm thinking the Hawks do have six defensemen now, do they? Vlasic, Grizzlick. Good. Yeah, they're going to be fine. They don't need to make a call up tomorrow for Winnipeg. Sam Renzel is just going to return to the lineup because he's missed the last couple games because of an illness. So anyway, I digress. Defenseman group is still going to be pretty young, so we'll see how the Blackhawks end up managing that situation moving forward. But yeah, I wanted to throw Connor Murphy his flowers on what he's meant to the organization, and I'm really happy for him that he lands in a spot that will hopefully make a deep run into the postseason. We got more to get to here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Mike Palm from Circa will join us for some NHL talk. That's coming up next on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. When the Blackhawks win, you can win. Circa Sports is giving away one grand prize and other prizes every time the Blackhawks win. Every time the Blackhawks win, someone will win a two-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, plus $500 stadium credit and a Blackhawks Centennial jersey. Additionally, 100 people will get an $100 credit on the Circa app. Enter once and you'll be eligible to win on all future game days when the Blackhawks win, home and away. See the Blackhawks contest page for details. And speaking of Circa, let's go to our guy Mike Palm now, who is, I'm sure, very busy right now as we go into the trade deadline on Friday. Mike, what's going on tonight?
Harley, good to talk to you again. Yeah, a lot of interesting things coming out of the Olympic break. The Olympics were great. So much going on here, and it's a busy time. Let alone we're ramping up for a small conference tournament week, big conference tournament week, and March Madness. So it's March is here.
Yeah, let's put a quick bow on the Olympics. What'd you think about the tournament as a whole, and then of course the gold medal win for Team USA that snapped a 46-year gold medal drought?
I don't know how you could have scripted it any better for people in North America to have both the men and the women come down to Canada versus USA. I thought the greatest performance of the entire Olympics was the Canadian women in the gold medal game. They actually dominated the American women. The American women got a tip in 6-on-5 with a little over 2 minutes to go, and then won in overtime. But what a performance by that Canadian team that had not come close to the Americans in the 7 times they had met before that this year, including in the round robin play, getting beat 5-0. The men's game was terrific. I think the U.S. men held on to get to overtime. A good thing nobody told Connor Hellebuyck this is the NHL playoffs, because he stood on his head. It's a shame that the MVP votes had to be in.
Yeah.
Before the start of the second period, obviously Hellebuyck would have won the MVP. I guess not knowing who was going to win the game, you could stand with McDavid with the record 13 points, but Hellebuyck definitely deserved it.
I was just going to say, that is not a version of Connor Hellebuyck that I was expecting to see in the gold medal game. And even going into the tournament, Team USA's goaltending was believed to be a strength of theirs, but I wasn't totally convinced, because we saw like the meltdown of Jake Oettinger last year, where Pete DeBoer ends up blaming Jake Oettinger. He gets fired for it. And then Connor Hellebuyck in the postseason almost made me a little nervous going into the gold medal game. But my goodness, Connor Hellebuyck was just unbelievable.
Yeah, going into the Olympics, I wasn't sure how much of an advantage it was. Of course, Bennington is the wild card. He's played so poorly. I mean, statistically, Bennington and Bobrovsky have been the worst two goalies in the National Hockey League this year. I thought maybe Thompson and Kemper would see time, but, you know, Cooper was very loyal to Bennington. And then on the American side, Hellebuck having a down year, Ottinger having a down year, Swayman with not that much experience, and it turns out Ottinger doesn't even see the ice. So, yeah, I mean, it turned out, maybe you could say that, it was an advantage. But, I mean, Bennington played great as well. You could tell from the very first game Canada played that they had practiced, because Bennington, as well as Joe Holford in St. Louis, are very aggressive playing the puck, and all those Canadian defensemen knew exactly where to be when the puck went behind the net. So Cooper did a good job in that respect, having everybody ready for Bennington's propensity to play the puck. But, you know, and he stood on his head. Obviously, he made some saves you'll never forget, Hellebuck. I mean, if Canada and the USA play 100 times, I would think that Canada would probably win 60 to 65 times, and maybe that's a little bit low. But it only counts once, and you just have to beat them once. And that's what's great about elimination formats, you know. We have series in baseball and series in the NBA, but you know, it doesn't get that kind of excitement unless you get to a game seven.
Right. All right, let's shift our attention to the NHL. Admittedly, it was hard watching the gold medal game and the quarterfinals and the semifinals and the intensity of that hockey and transition over to the NHL. But it does feel like the intensity is going to start ramping up as we get down the stretch run. We did see the Edmonton Oilers make a trade earlier today with Chicago acquiring Connor Murphy. That's the team I'm really trying to keep an eye on over the next few days. I think Stan Bowman did a press conference earlier today and kind of acknowledged that they weren't really going to address the goaltending position again, even though the Tristan Jarry experiment has been a borderline disaster. Would you be surprised if Edmonton doesn't go out and address getting another goaltender yet again?
I'm convinced they have to. I don't know how you're going to waste McDavid's career here. And I mean, that's harsh because they've gone to the Stanley Cup finals and to a game seven. So, I mean, it's harsh to say they're wasting it, but you've got to win the title. And I don't think the way they're constructed, they can. I thought they would be the first ones on the phone to Doug Armstrong to come and get Bennington.
Yep.
I think St. Louis is ready to say it's time. I think they're confident in Joel Holfer. I also think Bobrovsky, if they want Bobrovsky, you know, Bobrovsky thinks the Panthers are going to sign him to another big deal. They're not, nor should they. And I think if the Panthers had to do it, you know, do it over again, they got rid of the wrong goaltender with letting the Blackhawks get Spencer Knight that they can build around for the next half decade. So I would say that Bennington or Bobrovsky would end up in an Oiler uniform. I don't know how they can ignore it. I don't know how their fan base or their core of superstars could feel if they don't go out and at least make an effort to make a major upgrade at goalie. As you said, Jarry wasn't it. It's worked out for Pittsburgh. It hasn't worked out for Edmonton.
Yeah. Ironically, if the Oilers were getting Pittsburgh's version of Stuart Skinner, that's exactly what they were looking for, but it's just a different market, especially you need someone that can handle the bright lights. And I'm right there with you. Jordan Binnington or Sergei Bobrovsky, two guys that have experience playing in those games. I think either one would be a terrific fit for the Oilers.
Yeah, I think most likely Binnington. You know, Skinner needed to get out of Edmonton.
Yeah.
It's just he took too much of the blame, Charlie. I'm not saying he didn't deserve a good share of it, but I think he took too much of the blame. And so he needed a fresh start. Now, it's obviously brutal that Crosby gets hurt and is going to be out a month, but Pittsburgh's come out swinging here. I thought they lose the first few games and they might be sellers, but no, they're going to go for it, it looks like. So, you know, maybe there'll be a run for Skinner in the playoffs with the Penguins.
Yeah. Well, which other teams are you going to be keeping an eye on between now and Friday? I know Detroit's been linked to whether it's Robert Thomas, whether it's Tyler Myers. Like, I could see them making a big splash. I know Minnesota is looking at Vinny Trocheck. Like, which teams do you think are really salivating at the potential of getting a big fish to really boost their playoff chances, but also trying to go deep into the playoffs?
Well, it has to be the Wild number one to me. And they still have to go out and get a top-line center. If they got a top line center, I tell you, I think that they can beat Colorado and they can win the cup. I made a bet during the latter stages of the Olympics that Dallas would exit in the first round. I really believe Minnesota is better than Dallas, and then Rantanen gets hurt. And even if Minnesota overcame Colorado, Dallas would get Colorado, right? They're locked into that three. I can't think that Ottinger's confidence was boosted by not getting any time at all in Milan. But I'm very high on this Minnesota team. I thought that would be a flat, if you look at their schedule, I thought that would have been a flat spot for them against the Blues. And you knew you were giving away that Utah game because they went all in as an organization, everybody playing against Colorado the first game back. So this team is one top line center away from probably being the best team in hockey, or at least being able to make that argument with Colorado.
Man, I'm right there with you. I feel like if they can make a move and get a Trocheck and really solidify their center position, I just feel like the acquisition of Quinn Hughes has really elevated, obviously, the production on the back end, but it just feels like confidence-wise, especially watching the Olympics and how impactful Quinn Hughes was for Team USA. Like, if that's the guy they're getting in the playoffs, my gosh, it just feels like he's going to elevate everyone's game just based on confidence alone.
He's the best offensive defenseman in the NHL, but he's not a great defensive defenseman. I have to tell you that. This team is more than him and Kaprizov, though. I mean, Boldy is great. Eriksson Ek got hit in the face with the stick the other day. I mean, if he was out for a long time, I think that would have sunk him. He's really valuable to that team. Gustafsson played very, very well in goal. I mean, this is a very good team. Now, they haven't made it out of the first round in a decade, so they've got that mental hurdle to get over. But I think there's some confidence with their GM/training staff having brought home gold for the USA as well.
All right, last one for you. Let's stick in the Western Conference. Nashville Predators, what would you do? Would you try to move Ryan O'Reilly, Steven Stamkos, and kind of start tearing it down to the studs? Or do you have to keep riding this momentum that they're seemingly on, even though they have a minus 30 goal differential this season?
I don't think that you can be happy to just try to be a wild card in the West. You know, especially if you're the second wild card, you have to stay in the Central Division and play Colorado most likely, or maybe Minnesota. I think that they had this effort where they went and got all these aging stars and tried to put together this team, and it didn't work out. And I think they have to tear it down. I'm going to give you one quick on the way out. What would you do if you're Utah? I think Utah is still a year away. I would be patient if I were Utah. I wouldn't give up too many assets to try to get better right now.
Yeah, it sounded like they made a, at least they wanted to be in the Artemi Panarin sweepstakes. So that kind of gives you a glimpse of what they're thinking. But yeah, I tend to agree. I wouldn't overly force a move just to kind of elevate their chances this year if it's going to be irresponsible for them down the road.
Yeah, I agree with you, Charlie.
Love it. Well, Mike, hey, thank you so much for doing this, for carving out some time. We always appreciate your insight, and I'm sure we'll have a lot of things to talk about in a couple weeks when the trade deadline settles.
I'll leave you with one thing tonight. I've tried some way to play the Kings. I'm just a really big believer in the dead coach bounce. It's 9 months too late, but they finally fired Jim Hiller. Abs at Kings tonight. I'd get creative some way to play the Kings. I really believe in that dead coach bounce.
Man, I'm right there with you too. They should have canned him after the playoffs last year. I mean, that was a very poor coaching playoff series against Edmonton. I mean, and I feel like they went into that still feeling the effects of that this season.
It was the worst challenge in the history of the NHL playoffs.
Oh, hard to disagree. Mike, you're the best, man. Thank you so much.
All right, Charlie, take care.
All right. That was the great Mike Palm from Circa. We got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap things up on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, next on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Jackie got me fired up for the summer now. I'm ready to go surfing.
I didn't think they're going to jump right into the words. I thought it was going to be more of a build up.
I love it. Let's put a bow on this show and talk about the trade deadline preview for the Blackhawks outside of the move that they made earlier today. I think the couple names that we're going to be watching for Chicago, two names specifically, Jason Dickinson and Ilya Mikheyev, and maybe throw in a third one with Nick Foligno, depending on what he may or may not want to do and maybe what the team may or may not want to do as they get closer, as they kind of discuss their off-season plans. Mikheyev one is interesting to me because I've said essentially all season long, I think if the Blackhawks were getting phone calls on Mikheyev, like I kind of joke that I would just hang up because he would be someone that I would want to re-sign. But it sounds like Mikheyev, this is likely going to be the last contract that he can kind of really cash out on. He's, how old is he? 31 years old. And he's probably looking at a deal that's more term than it is salary. If you're the Hawks, I think 2 or 3 year deal might be fine. Beyond 3 year, 3 years would be my max. Beyond that, I think it would be difficult for the Blackhawks to maybe stomach because they want to make sure that they have money allocated to Connor Bedard and Sam Renzel and Artem Leshinov and all these young players that they're going to have to pay down the road. And so I get that the Hawks are being mindful of the salary cap space. If the Hawks and Mikheyev are not seeing eye to eye on an potential extension leading into Friday, I would not be surprised if the Blackhawks potentially use the final retention slot on Mikheyev. And because he could be a really appealing piece for a playoff contender that needs a middle six forward that is a relentless penalty killer. Arguably, I would say he's a top five penalty killer in the NHL right now. And so I think he could be a really useful player. And so that's a really interesting situation, going to be an interesting situation to monitor for the Blackhawks as we get closer to Friday. And then with Jason Dickinson, you know, third line center, plays a lot of hard minutes for the Blackhawks. He handles a lot of defensive zone responsibility, important faceoffs, but also he's the guy that the Blackhawks, anytime Nathan MacKinnon or Connor McDavid or Mikko Rantanen, whichever superstar is coming into Chicago, Jason Dickinson is usually the guy that's going up against the opposition's top players, top line. And he does a fantastic job at that. Now, he has been a little injury prone this year. He hasn't been able to kind of get through. Even last year, finished with an injury. But Jason Dickinson, when healthy, I think is a really dependable player. And so those are really the two names that I'm looking for the Blackhawks as we go into Friday. And then I mentioned Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno. I imagine the team and the player are going to be having some more intense conversations, probably if it hasn't happened already, like in the next day or two, because I think Foligno would probably want a read on if he does return for one more year, would the Blackhawks want him to be part of the fold, or are the Blackhawks ready to kind of move forward by opening up a spot and giving the keys to the young players, particularly in the leadership department, but also a spot in the lineup. If that's not the case, then maybe Foligno could see an opportunity to get traded to a contender if the market is there. We have to acknowledge that his salary does not make it particularly favorable for him, especially if the Hawks are going to have to, if they use their final retention spot on someone else. Foligno is making $4.5 million. So that's not an ideal cap situation for a team that wants to take it on full. If they're not getting someone that could be impactful in like the top six, middle six, or, you know, the top four defensemen, Foligno would be more of a depth player. But, that's also going to be something to monitor what happens with Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno. But if this is it for him, if he's kind of made up his mind that this is going to be my last year, maybe he is going to want to go try to chase a cup, and the Hawks will do their best to accommodate the player's wishes. And so we'll have to see how that all plays out. But it's not going to be, I don't expect a ton of moves by the Blackhawks, just because they might be, you know, they might have their hands tied on what the market even dictates.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It seems like Dickinson and Mikheyev are the two that they can maybe cash in on, just because their roles fit what contenders are looking for now. So, and they only have the one game. They have the game tomorrow, and then it's like 2 days, and then their next game's on Friday, but it's after the deadline. So, right.
Which, by the way, they should ditch the trade deadline. They should shut down all NHL games on trade deadline day. I don't know why the NHL hasn't done that. It's a chaotic day as it is, but I digress.
I remember last year was the Hawks had a game, and the deadline was later because it ended, and then as like Davidson was talking, then the game started, and you're just like, who's where? Who's here?
Yeah.
What happened? Kind of thing.
Yeah, it's way too chaotic. But it is going to be interesting because the deadline is on Friday. Hawks have a home game later on, but the deadline's earlier in the afternoon. So we'll see what kind of moves that the Blackhawks make. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Our next show is going to be on Tuesday, March 10th at 7 o'clock.